राया गोपी जन बल्लभा गिरिवर नारी यशोदा नंदन गज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा बन चारी जमुना तीरा बन Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Gaur Hari Bol Hari Bol Hari Bol Hari Bol Jai Jai Prabhu Pad Prabhu Pad Prabhu Pad, Prabhu Pad,
प्रेमानंदी हरि जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशादि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। श्री मथुरा धाम की जय। श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। श्री मायापुर धाम की जय। गंगा माई की जय। जमुना माई की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी महारानी की जय। हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। मायापुर इंस्टीट्यूट की जय। गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांगो। All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchatya Hare Krishna. So I'm very happy to be here with you all. How many of you are doing Bhakti Shastri? Okay. And how many of you are doing Bhakti Vaibhav? Very good. Okay. And so I'm very happy to be with you all. I was thinking that all of you are doing either Bhakti Shastri or Bhakti Vaibhav, but I can see there are quite a lot of guests here today. And so those who are studying in Mayapur Institute, how are you all appreciating this course here? Yeah? Very nice. You're learning a lot. And it's very nice. Krishna consciousness is actually a process of learning. Learning the spiritual science. Krishna consciousness is a science. It's a scientific understanding of spiritual reality. We know about this material nature, but beyond this material nature, there is another nature. There is another reality. That reality is beyond our sense perception. That means we cannot see it with our eyes, we cannot touch it with our hand, and so forth. Only one sense that can actually approach that reality. Which is that one? Which of the five senses can approach that reality? Yes, hearing. Therefore, this subject is called Shruti. Shruti. Shruti in Sanskrit word Shruti means hearing. It's only through hearing we can reach that reality or perceive that reality. It is beyond our sense perception, therefore it is called adhokshaja. Adha akshaja. Aksha means senses. Ja means produced of. This material nature is a production of our senses. But it is adho-akshaja, beyond our sense perception. This material nature is perceivable by our senses, but spiritual reality is beyond our sense perception. Therefore, if we want to know about that reality, what is the way? Hearing. From whom? Those who are expert in this subject, those who know that subject. What is the process? Tadviddhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshinaha. So what is the qualification of the speaker? Tattvadarshinaha. He has seen the truth. How did he see the truth? I think it's time to close the door. Just close the door. It has been announced that people shouldn't just walk in into the class like this. There are some actually it's a study thing, it's a school, it's a class. Like one cannot just walk in any time one wants. Tattva darshinaha, the qualification of the teacher is that he has seen the truth. How did he see the truth? Did he see the truth with his eyes? No. He saw the truth through his hearing, through the study of the subject. Under the guidance of a qualified teacher. And again, what's the qualification of that teacher? He has seen the truth through the same process. So that's why ISKCON actually is an educational institution. And this educational institution is designed to impart knowledge about the spiritual world. So are you all interested in studying that subject?
Yes.
That's why you all have come here, to study the science of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada was very emphatic about that point. It is a science. It is not just some faith. I believe, therefore it is. No, it is a reality. It's a science. The science of self-realization. It's a science of self-realization. It's a science about spiritual reality. So I'm very happy to see that so many of you are so sincerely trying to study the science under a systematic way. And I'm also very happy to see that Mayapur Institute is making this arrangement to teach this subject to you also systematically. We first started VIHE, the Vrindavan Institute of Higher Education, in 1987. In Kartik of 1987 in Vrindavan for 1 month, we started this course, MIHE. Many of us were involved in that. And then VIHE, from VIHE started the MIHE, Mayapur Institute of Higher Education. Janmashtami Prabhu took the initiative to set up the Mayapur wing of this education, the institution. And then I can see that it eventually became Mayapur Institute instead of Mayapur Institute of Higher Education. It's at least easier to pronounce. So Mayapur Institute, simple. So I've been asked to speak on Uttama Bhakti. Bhakti, how many of you are studying Nectar of Devotion in the Mayapur Institute? It's a part of Bhakti Shastri course or Bhakti Bhai? Bhakti Shastri course is Nectar of Devotion. In the beginning of Nectar of Devotion, there's a description of how many types of devotional service? How many types of bhakti are there? No, actually the general classification is that there is two types, three actually, sadhana bhakti, raganuga bhakti and prema bhakti. Actually, then the sadhana bhakti also is of two types, raganuga sadhana bhakti and vaidhi sadhana bhakti. Anyway, general classification is initially it is sadhana. Sadhana means practicing devotional service. Then spontaneous devotional service and ultimately perfected devotional service. That is called prema bhakti. And prema bhakti is also identified as uttama bhakti. This has been described by Srila Rupa Goswami through this verse. Anna bhilashitas shunnam jnana karmad anavritam anukullena krishnanushilanam bhakti uttam. Very good. I can see that all of you know this verse. It's very important verse to remember. So anna bhilashita shunnam. Sanskrit words are often conjoined. That is, two or more words become one. It's called sandhi. They become one. Few words become one word. And there is a very definite system for unifying those or combining those words through sandhi. So, here we can see anna bhilashita shunnam. Anya is one word and abhilashita is another word. Two words. In becoming one as anna abhilashita. Anna bhilashita. Anna means other. Anna also means rice, but the spelling is different. One is A-N-N-A, that is rice. And A-N-Y-A is other. Anya and Abhilashita. Abhilasha or Abhilash means desire. And Shunnam. Shunnam means, the word Shunna means zero. And shunnam means without. So anna bhilashita shunyam means without any other desire. Other than which desires? Anna, one hand, anna bhilashita shunyam. And it is being precise. What are the anna abhilasha? Jnana, karmad, anabritam. Abrita means covered, and anabrita is devoid of the cover. What is the covering? The covering is jnana and karma. Jnana karmad anabritam. And anupullena krishnanushilanam. Anupulya, the word anupulya means favorable, conducive. And Sanskrit word again, Sanskrit is a very scientific language, very scientific, very precise language. It has declensions, like seven different declensions. And the third form of declension is by. And the letter takes the word, takes the form of like anukulya is the root word, and anukulena means by favorable activities. Anukulena krishnanushilanam. Krishnanushilanam, Krishna anushilanam. Activities in favor of Krishna's pleasure. Activities in favor of Krishna's service is known as bhaktir uttama, pure devotion or most exalted form of devotion. So we got the thing, pure devotion. What is the definition of pure devotion? What is the definition of pure devotional service? Anna bhilashita shunyam. No other desire. Jnana karmad anapritam. Free from the covering of jnana and karma. Jnana means knowledge and karma means fruitive activity. So here we are actually embarking on to two different types of desires, abhilasha. Abhilash means, I described before, what is the meaning of the word abhilash? Desire. So here we can see that the desires are being classified into two categories. Right? What are those two categories? Very good. Jnana and karma. Now, what is jnana? What is the specific indication of the word jnana? And what's the specific indication of the word karma? So why there are only these two categories? Why there are only two? There are so many. One can say there are so many different types of desires we have. No. All these desires that you have can be put into these two categories. Jnana and karma. What is the karma category? Karma category is sense gratification. Activities for sense gratification. We act when we act to gratify ourselves. Well, again we can go into another consideration. Yes, karma also are of different types. Karma is sense gratificatory activities are classified or identified as karma. Now there are different types of karma. Bhagavad Gita is speaking about karma, akarma and vikarma. Now this karma again can be classified as the appropriate karma, appropriate action, and inappropriate action. What are the appropriate actions? The actions that will lead to our own benefit or our pleasure. These are the appropriate actions. And what are the inappropriate actions? The actions that will cause us distress. Do you want to suffer? Does anybody want to suffer? Nobody wants to suffer. Right? So, then we must... Now, happiness and pain, suffering and enjoyment come as a result of our karma. Right? Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasa. The way you act, accordingly you get the result. If you are enjoying today, it's a result of your good actions. If you are suffering today, it's a result of your bad action. You are responsible. You can't blame anybody, right, for what is happening to you. It's all your own doing. So the actions that will lead to suffering is undesirable action or sinful activities. And the activities that will lead to enjoyment is appropriate activities or pious activities. Now they also had been defined again as activities according to the Vedic injunctions and activities not in conformity with the Vedic injunction. Like we can say activities through Vedic injunction, according to Vedic injunction, and whimsical activities. You act whimsically, and the result is, if the whimsical action may lead to enjoyment or may lead to suffering. We can't really say what will be the result of our action. But the safe course to take is act according to the Vedic injunction. Vedas are saying, act in this way and don't act in that way. So that is the general consideration. Activities in conformity with the Vedic injunctions and activities that are not in conformity with the Vedic injunctions. So that is the classification of karma. And again, here when they are talking about karma, they are actually talking about the karma even according to the Vedic injunctions. That's also covering. Acting according to the Vedic injunction also is considered to be detrimental to Krishna consciousness or devotional service if it is meant for our sense gratification. So that karma also has to be rejected. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Dharma means, here dharma means what? Dharma means acting according to Vedic injunctions. Artha means the resultant paichi, the pious activities that comes from right action. And as a result of that, artha, wealth, money. When you have money, you can buy whatever you want. Right? But here, this artha is subtle wealth. Money is gross wealth. Money is gross wealth. But a little more subtle than money is credit card. But even more subtle is punya, piety. Like what does the credit card do? It's a card, but it's indicating how much money you have. Right? You have credit with the bank. And the bank is giving you the ability to buy things according to your ability, according to the amount of money you have in the bank. Right? Credit you have. But even more subtle is paiti. Like the credit card is given or this account is maintained by the bank, cash is in your pocket. Credit card is the credit that bank is offering you. And punya is the credit that the demigods are offering you. Okay, you have so much cash, so much credit to your account. And you desire, and if it fits in, then you can have it. Like, say you have you have, say, 10,000 rupees. Now you want to buy something that costs 1,000 rupees. Granted. Then you want to buy something 2,000 rupees. Granted. Then you buy something for 7,000 rupees. Granted. Then you go and buy something for even 500 rupees. No. No more account. No more money in the account. or he has exhausted. So this is how punya also works, a subtle wealth. So karma, appropriate karma is generating punya, and punya, dharma is giving us artha. Artha means wealth. And with the wealth, what can you do? Kama, fulfill your desire. But then what happens, in spite of fulfilling all your desires, you see that you are still not happy. In the material nature, we think that by fulfilling our desires, we are going to be happy. But in spite of fulfilling all our desires, eventually we realize, I'm still not happy. Then what happens? One eventually gets to realize that this material nature is a place of suffering. Now, can you enjoy in a place of suffering? Can you enjoy through an instrument that is meant to give you pain? Huh? Yes, who said no? Thank you. Yes. So, this material nature is a place of suffering, and this body is an instrument that has been beautifully designed to inflict pain upon you. And that's why I thank Mataji for confirming that. Now let's consider this body. We are trying to enjoy through this body. But will we really be able to enjoy through this body? Just take any part of your body. Take any part of your body. Just an insignificant part. Any part. Okay, the thought that comes to my mind is a little finger. Consider in how many different ways you can give pleasure to this little finger. But consider in how many different ways you can give pain to this little finger. Huh? We don't have to imagine very much. In so many ways, we can inflict pain to this little finger. Do you have to let our imagination go? Take a knife, cut it. Take a stone, smash it. Take some fire, burn it. Well, don't have to do that much. Take a needle and just pinch it. What will you get? In this way, there you can think of thousands of different ways to inflict pain to this little finger. Now you consider in how many ways you can give pleasure to this little finger. Practically none. Now mind you, the little finger was just any choice. I could have selected any part of my body. Now that principle actually applies to any part of our body. We can inflict pain in thousand different ways, but there is hardly any way we can give pleasure to that body, part of the body. So what does it actually imply? Doesn't it imply that this body is meant to receive pain? So the body is meant to receive pain, and this material nature is a place to receive pain, to suffer. And in our life, what are we actually trying to do? Avoid these possibilities of suffering. Avoid the possibilities of receiving pain. That's what we are always doing. We are trying to avoid. And when you are successfully able to avoid receiving pain, we call it happiness. So when we realize that this material nature is a place of suffering, and this we all are here in this material body to suffer, to receive pain, then what should be the intelligent consideration? The intelligent consideration should be to get out of here. Get out of here. That is the intelligent consideration, is to get out of here. I'm suffering. So why should I suffer? Maybe the way to get out of this, get rid of the suffering, is by getting out of here. So that is the desire for liberation. So karma is leading to sense gratification. Sense gratification means trying to enjoy through this body. The body is a network of senses. And sense gratification is the way, is the means by which we are trying to enjoy through this body. So we are trying to enjoy through this body. But ultimate conclusion is, we are suffering, we are suffering. No matter whatever we do, we are meant to suffer here. Tritapa klesha, tritapa dukkha, adhi atmik, adhi daivik, adhi bhautik. Four kinds of, four phases of suffering. Janma, mrittu, jara, bhakti, dukkha, doshan, udarshanam. That is the reality. So, karma is leading to sense gratification or enjoyment through the body, and jnana is leading to liberation. So karma and jnana means enjoyment in the material nature and to become free from the suffering condition. Now, Prabhupada is pointing out, it's actually the two sides of the same coin. Head I enjoy, tail I suffer. Right? The head is enjoying this material nature, and tail is to get out of the material nature. The desire for liberation also is of the same consideration. Our existence in the material nature. Either both are actually consideration of our material existence. Now we are coming to the pure devotional platform. Pure devotional platform is actually beyond both these considerations, because both are pertaining to material nature. One is enjoy the material nature, and the other is get out of the material nature. So both are in relation to the material nature. Be in the material nature and enjoy, get out of the material nature. So that is the consideration, that even the desire for liberation is a material desire. Desire for liberation is also not in conformity with our actual spiritual situation. In this way we can, I'm wondering whether I should give you a lot of time for questions. Or should I speak? How many of you would like to have questions? Let me see. If you have questions, then please write them down on a piece of paper. I actually want you to ask many questions, because I want it to be interactive. So how many of you are feeling that you have questions? How many of you think that you would like to ask questions? Nobody? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, there's 1, 5. Anyway, so that's a good to start with. So, okay, I'll give you the what is, why the Vedas are not in favor of liberation, where the actual consideration of Vedas is not really appreciating our desire for liberation. Because there are two types of liberations. And Vedas are actually rejecting the negative consideration or the wrong kind of liberation. What is the wrong kind of liberation? You are in a prison house, right? So naturally you want to get out of the prison. Now one way you can get out of the prison is dig a tunnel and get out of the prison. Isn't it? Somehow or other you escape from the prison. Now is escaping from the prison going to make you really free? No. Even though you may be out of the prison, but you will be constantly haunted. You will be chased by the police. You have to hide in the forest or in a ruin. Although, see, you took so much trouble. Of course, not you. One takes so much trouble to dig a tunnel. It's not easy to dig a tunnel. It takes so much effort. And then you escape from the tunnel, escape from the prison through the tunnel. But do you really become free? No. So this is a negative or undesirable way to get to become free from the prison. It's not really freedom. Now there is another way of becoming free. The positive way of becoming free. You recognize your mistake for which you are imprisoned. You recognize the crime you committed for which you are suffering. You are being punished in the prison. You, after recognizing the cause of your suffering, cause of your imprisonment, then you rectify that cause from its root. That is, what is the cause of your imprisonment? You have denied, you have defied the king. You've broken the law that was given by the king. Now what you do, you appeal to the king. My lord, I made a mistake, I'm sorry about it, and I promise I'll never do it again. Then the king, what does the king do at that time? After receiving your appeal, the king reports to the prison authorities that this prisoner has appealed to me, so watch him. And the prison authorities start to watch you. And then they see that you are really rectifying. Then what the prison authorities do, they don't treat you like a prisoner. Although you are a prisoner, but they give you some special assignments. They make you a leader of the other prisoners and they tell you that, look, why don't you teach those prisoners how also to rectify their deformed or distorted mentality. I'll train them also to surrender to the king. Then although he is a prisoner, although he is in the prison house, but still he is not treated like a prisoner by the prison authorities. And then the prison authorities keep on reporting to the king that this prisoner is doing very well and he has become such a loyal follower of you and he is constantly thinking how to please you and he is always worshipping you. He is always serving you. And he put your picture in his room. And he, in the morning, he offers aarti. And whatever food he gets, he offers it to you first, understanding that it belongs to you. Then what does the king do? What will the king do? Then the king will tell the prison authorities, okay, release him and send him to my palace. I am looking for some good servants. So let him come and live with me in the palace and serve me directly here in my palace. So that is the difference between escaping the prison from the prison and surrendering to the king and winning his favor. So if the material nature is the prison house, then the desire for liberation, somehow or other get out of the material nature, is considered to be escaping from the prison, which is not really freeing him in the real sense. That kind of liberation is called impersonal liberation or sajujya mukti. And there is another kind of liberation. That liberation is surrendering to the king, recognizing one's own mistakes. So here, who is the king?
Krishna.
And what is our problem? What is our crime? Our crime is we disobeyed his order. We disregarded his law. And then we are surrendering, "My Lord, I have made a mistake. Please accept my apology. I promise that I'll never act in such a way." And that is the meaning of Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam. So then what will happen? At first Krishna will, he won't take us, free us immediately. It's okay. So let us see whether he really means it. He is saying that he surrendered to me. Let me see how he acts. And the prison authorities are watching us. And they are reporting to Krishna. If they see that we are really sincere about our surrender to him, we are serving him, we are trying to please him, and then what they will do, they will engage us in the process of educating others. And what does a devotee do at that time? He goes out and preaches and tells others, "Why are you suffering? Please surrender to Krishna." Because he himself experienced that just by surrendering to Krishna, how his suffering condition has become reduced. And in this way, he begins to preach, and the Lord becomes more and more pleased with him. And then eventually, when he sees that we have become qualified, then he will say, "Okay, now come back to me." And then one fine morning, we'll find that somebody is waiting in the chariot for us to go back to the place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead resides. And until then, we will continue to serve him here. Now, in the prison house, when somebody is acting on behalf of the king, is he a prisoner? No. He is already liberated. Although he is in the prison house, but he is liberated. Therefore, pure devotional service is beyond liberation. So we are getting three stages. One is the plane of fruitive activity. One is trying to enjoy through our own actions. Another is trying to get out of this material nature somehow or other, but actually that is a negative kind of desire. Karma, jnana. Karma is inducing us to enjoy in this material nature, and jnana is leading us to get out of this material nature, liberation. And actually Chaitanya Charitamrita is saying that this desire for liberation is the worst kind of offense. Tar moddhe mokkho vancha koitabo pradhan. Mokkho vancha means desire for liberation. It's the worst kind of deception. Jakwai taha huite Krishna bhakti hoy antardhan. Because due to that, the Krishna bhakti is completely vanquished. Krishna Bhakti disappears, antardhana. You try to escape from the prison, then there is no possibility of surrendering to the king. But the real liberation becomes a secondary concept, becomes a side effect, a natural consequence of devotion. Therefore, when one chants the holy name, we know that in the clearing stage, he achieves liberation. Liberation for a devotee is a very, very insignificant consideration. Because by being situated in devotional service, the joy and the facilities that he receives, compared to that, liberation becomes a totally insignificant consideration. Therefore, pure devotional service is jnana karmad anapritam. And what is then the pure devotional service? Anukulleyena Krishna anushilanam. Serve Krishna in such a way that will please him. That is pure devotion. Thank you very much. Now I'll invite questions. This is from, I think, Ekalabha Prabhu. Hare Bol. Maharaj, I'm Ho, AGTSP. You mentioned that you can't blame anyone for what is happening to you. Because it is due to your past actions. On the other hand, I feel so fortunate that my life has become so auspicious, yet I don't feel that the benefits have come from my actions. Rather, the benefits have come from the mercy of the devotees. What is the correct understanding and mood that I should adapt? Wonderful question. Thank you very much, Ekalabha. Very nice question. Yeah, when I say that that our suffering and enjoyment are the product of our past action, it's actually, I meant the material situation. The enjoyment and suffering in the material nature is a result of our past deeds. But when one comes to Krishna consciousness, then yes, as you mentioned, his life becomes completely auspicious. Now, devotional service is not a result of our past karma. Devotional service is, as you again very aptly said, very correctly said, the mercy of the devotee. It's a very good point. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is saying in Madhurya Kadambini that he is considering, you know, what causes one to receive devotion? And he is concluding that Krishna doesn't give devotion. Because if Krishna gave somebody devotion and didn't give devotion to somebody else, then people would call Krishna partial. But Krishna is absolutely impartial. But Krishna's devotees, they make discrimination. They say who is inclined towards Krishna consciousness, who is innocent and who is offensive. So those who are inclined and those who are innocent, he goes out of his way to give them Krishna consciousness. And therefore, the devotees actually gives devotion, or it is by the mercy of the devotees that one receives devotion to Krishna. So that good fortune or sukriti is created by the devotees. Therefore, the devotees go out of their ways to distribute Krishna consciousness. Because that's the only way people can get devotion. Like we can see, like had Prabhupada not have gone to America, could we get Krishna praying, Krishna consciousness, could you become devotees of Krishna? Srila Prabhupada has created the good fortune for us. And then Prabhupada's followers, Prabhupada's devotees, Prabhupada's representatives are continuing the mission. And in this way, through the mercy of devotees of Srila Prabhupada, the devotees of ISKCON, that this movement will continue to spread throughout the world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Write it down. Yeah? Who has questions, please? Oh, you have? Yeah, okay. Dear Maharaj, what is more important, higher taste or jnana? As I mentioned, the jnana is leading to liberation. And this liberation doesn't actually give the higher taste. The higher taste comes. Do you get higher taste? Do you get any taste by intellectually probing into things? You may get some taste. But when you get a plate of Mahaprasad, do you have to think about the taste at all? So, the real taste comes from devotional service. The higher taste is, therefore, higher than jnana. Thank you. Why some take to Krishna consciousness and others not? Okay, very good question. Why some take to Krishna consciousness and others not? Because one thing is that some has the good fortune to come across some devotees and receive their mercy. And some do not. The devotees may be distributing his mercy. Devotees may be distributing their mercy. But if we are not open to receive his mercy, then we can't benefit. Therefore, those who are fortunate to receive the mercy of the devotees, they get Krishna consciousness. And those who don't, they don't. Prabhupada said, devotee's mercy is constantly flowing, being constantly showered. An example can be drawn in from that statement of Prabhupada. I am thirsty and there is torrents of rain. But unless and until I cup my hands and drink, I won't be able to quench my thirst. There is also another expression. You can take the horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. It's the horse that have to drink. So it's an individual have to receive the mercy. Those who receive the mercy, they are fortunate. Those who are not able to receive the mercy, they are unfortunate. What is the aim behind the law of karma? What is the aim behind the law of karma? The aim or purpose behind the law of karma is to rectify our perverted consciousness. We are trying to enjoy without Krishna. We are trying to enjoy without Krishna. And we are acting. The more we try to enjoy without Krishna, the more we are being punished. So that is the purpose. Why? When we make a mistake, we are punished. So that we can rectify the mistake. Therefore, the aim behind the law of karma is to rectify our perverted consciousness. And ultimately, by being punished, what do we learn? Especially, when we are suffering. And then somebody comes and tells us, look, why are you suffering? You know why you are suffering? You are suffering because you are defying Krishna. Surrender to Krishna and you won't have any suffering. And you listen to the wise words of the devotees, wise advice of the devotees. And then we surrender to Krishna. Then what happens? No more suffering. When you surrender to Krishna, then what happens? Krishna himself is giving the assurance. Aham tvam sarva papibhyo mokshayishyami masucha. Why do we suffer? We suffer because of our sinful reactions. And Krishna is saying, no more sinful reactions. You surrender unto me and there won't be any sinful reactions. That means there won't be any suffering. And we do that and we see that it works. We surrender to Krishna, and what to speak of suffering? Our life becomes full of joy. And as a result of that, our faith becomes established. Our faith becomes firm. But when not all souls learn by this, what is the use of the suffering? When you pointed out learning, well, what to do is a bad luck. Like the teacher is teaching in the class, those who study properly, then they get good results. But those who don't take the lessons, those who don't do the homework, those who don't prepare themselves, what happens to them? They flunk. So anyway, I'm sure that you all are very good students and you will you will pass with a flying color. Sankirtan Jagyadas. Who is Sankirtan Jagyadas? Oh, okay. Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. Is it the living entity's free will to come to this world or is by his past karma? You see, the karma started from the misusing our free will. So first it was our misusing of free will. And the misusing the free will, we have a free will either to look at Krishna or to look away from Krishna. When you look towards Krishna, it's Krishna consciousness. And when you look away from Krishna, desire for sense gratification, enjoying the material nature, Maya. So it's only two options, Krishna or Maya. You look towards Krishna, you'll be in Krishna's internal energy. You look away from Krishna, you'll be in Maya. The analogy of the prisoner surrendering to king sounded very nice. But you said we should not desire this liberation and that liberation, and that liberation is offensive. Please explain. So you have quite a few questions. Yeah, devotees, as I mentioned, devotees do not desire liberation. No more question. Let me answer these questions first. That's why I thought, I asked, because I knew that there will be many questions. And this question answer sessions actually make it so interesting. But you say that we should not desire this liberation and that liberation is offensive. What do you mean, this liberation, that liberation? Is that your question? Whose question is this? Yeah, what do you mean by this liberation and that liberation?
No, the liberation in general, you said the liberation, the desire to, the liberation is
offensive. Yeah. What I actually meant is that one liberation is trying to escape from the prison. And another way of liberation is to surrender to the king, right? And accepting his lordship. Now, obviously, To escape from the prison is not desirable. But surrendering to the king is the real way to become liberated. But then, when you surrender to the king, you automatically become liberated. You get the point? Like then you don't have to separately desire for liberation. What is that noise? Yeah, since you brought the question, I thought it was your question. But you said we should not desire this liberation and that liberation is offensive. Okay, I get it. We should not desire liberation because that is offensive. Yeah, what I meant is trying to escape from the prison. Like trying to get liberation just to get out of the material nature without being surrendered to Krishna, without surrendering to Krishna. That is not desire. Is that clear? Yeah, right. That negative liberation is merging into Brahma, impersonal liberation. Yeah, sajujya mukti. But other four kinds of mukti is okay. But still devotee doesn't care for that. Tar moddhe mokkho bancha koitabo pradhan jaha huite krishna bhakti hoy antartha. Mokkho bancha means sajujya mukti. Oh yeah, thank you. Okay. Whose question is this? Anyway, it will be nice if you give your name also. Dear Maharaj, would you please be so kind to explain a little more about karma? For example, is all the bad action in the world due to one's personal karma, or is there also a point of creating new karma through his activities, I think, yeah. Like very bad action towards other living entities. Oh yeah, through crimes. Yeah, creating new karma through crimes. Like very bad action towards other living entities. Are they due to karma of the living entity or also combined with creating new karma? Yes. Let me just go point by point. Would you please be so kind to explain little more about karma? You see, karma is the action-reaction principle. Are you familiar with the concept, as you sow, so shall you reap? Yes, you are. Are you familiar with the concept, to every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction? So that applies to every single action of ours. To every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Of course, Newton's law is equal and opposite, but the reality is in the material context is equal and opposite, but in the context of living entities, it is unequal but opposite. Like unequal in the sense you can't measure that this much of karma will generate that much of reaction. Like how complex it is, Prabhupada is pointing out that just as one seed falls on the ground and then a tree comes out. Then in the tree there are many fruits. In those fruits there are many seeds. In each seed there is a tree. And in those trees there are many fruits. In those fruits there are many seeds. In those seeds there are many trees. So similarly, see, just as one seed can be the cause of our eternal bondage. One karma can be the cause of our eternal bondage. We can be bound forever just for one little karma. That is how complex karma is. And then Prabhupada is pointing out also that there is no way we can free ourselves from our karmic reaction. People try to analyze their, try to nullify their karma through jag, yajna, tapasya, through austerities, penances and sacrifice. But that won't work. The only way that we can burn out our karma is by surrendering to Krishna. Krishna is giving us the assurance, aham tvam sarva papeshu. The only way we can become free from karmic reaction is just by surrendering to Krishna. That is Krishna's assurance. And Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can do anything. We are in the prison. It's impossible to get out of the prison. But if Krishna wants, He can free us. If Krishna wants, He can absolve all our crimes and say, okay, you're now free. Yes, and your next point is, can the karma create new karma? Yes, as I mentioned, like not only new karma, one karma can tie you down forever. Therefore, be very serious about how to free yourself from karmic reactions. What do you mean by an innocent person when you refer to one who can receive the mercy? What makes one open to receive the mercy? Okay. It is actually again a verse by Rupa Goswami. He is describing three types of people. One is a devotee who is surrendered to Krishna. One who doesn't know Krishna but open to Krishna consciousness when he is properly exposed to it. And the other is offenders. So a devotee has friendship towards those who have surrendered to Krishna. And innocent means he doesn't know Krishna, but he is not offensive. When he is given Krishna consciousness, he is prepared to receive it. So innocent is that category. The Sanskrit word for that is balish. The verse goes like this. Ishvare tad adhineshu balisheshu bisatsucha prema maitri kripa upekha ja karoti sa madhyama. The second class devotee, a preacher, he has this consideration. He has love for Krishna. Ishvare, prema. Tad adhineshu, meaning the devotees, those who are surrendered to Krishna. He has maitri, friendship. Balisheshu, to the innocent, meaning those who do not know Krishna, he has compassion, kripa. And those who are bisats, those who are offensive to Krishna, he has disregard for them. Hare Krishna Maharaj, what one should do to purify motives in devotional service? Okay, very good point. Rectify the what should one do? Try to purify your consciousness. How to purify your consciousness? By reading Prabhupada's books and associating with the devotees and acting according to their instructions. That is the way to purify your motives. Dear Maharaj, how can we develop the mood of Kunti Devi, ask for more suffering so that we can remember the Lord always? Very nice question. Very good. How can we develop the mood of Kunti Devi? The one way to develop someone's mood is by meditating upon that person. So the way meditating means, just consider how that person felt, how that person acted, how that person thought. And like you have Prayers by Queen Kunti, read that book, read Prabhupada's purports on that book. If possible, read Mahabharata and see what a wonderful personality Kunti Devi was. And by meditating upon her, you will develop her good qualities. It's a kind of induction. And this induction comes through association. Like associate with those devotees who also are like Kunti Devi. In real life, you associate with those devotees who are like Kunti Devi, who are so surrendered. And you read Kunti Devi's life, you meditate upon Kunti Devi in that way, and read Prabhupada's books. And that is the way to develop the mood of Kunti Devi, who is asking for more suffering. It's not an easy thing to do. She would rather have suffering because that suffering condition is inspiring her to surrender more to Krishna. So she is thinking that surrendering to Krishna or remembering Krishna, to have the association of Krishna, is more important than all the sufferings of the world. Therefore her mood is, let all the suffering comes if those sufferings induce me to think about Krishna. So that is her mood. So how will you develop? By appreciating her activities and developing your attachment to her. Okay, this is your question, Aishwarya Radha. Because of so much suffering, I am always thinking, oh, when I will get out from this material world. It's coming naturally in my mind. How to remove it? No, trying to get out of the material nature is not bad. But try to escape from the material nature, digging a tunnel is bad. If you are suffering, then naturally you want to get out of the suffering condition. It's a natural human nature. But in order to get out of this condition, how will you escape? That is the consideration. There's a fire in the house. Now, you naturally want to get out of the house. Now, how are you going to do that? That is the consideration. Like in that condition, if somebody tries to jump out of the roof, will that be the desirable way? No. But he sees that there is a fire escape. And he takes the fire escapes and climbs down, and he comes out. So this is how we have to know the right way out of the suffering. To desire to get out of the suffering condition is not bad. But to take the wrong route out of the suffering condition is bad. Is not desirable. Did I answer? Sumedhevi Radha Devika Dasi. Your name is Sumedhavi. Hare Krishna Maharaj, thanks for your wonderful class. You just now mentioned that Krishna do not give devotion. He is not partial. Then praying to Krishna for increasing our devotion is wrong mood. Kindly please explain this. No. To pray to Krishna for devotion is not wrong. But the thing is, Krishna will say, okay, you want to get devotion? So I'll send good devotees to you to associate with. And they will give you devotion. Right? So Krishna makes the arrangement. When you can pray to Krishna, but Krishna will extend his mercy in that way, like the seed of devotion he'll give to you through his devotee, as it has happened. Did Krishna send his devotees to you? Okay, how did you become a devotee? How did you become a devotee? Yeah. How did you come to Mayapurtha? And who are your parents? They're devotees? Then how did you get devotion? So, see, if you go to the root of it, you'll find it's only by the mercy of devotees that you get devotion. Bhakta Jana Priya Prabhu? Okay, thank you. Maharaj, then why it is said in Bhagavad Gita by Krishna, Jesham Tanta Gatam Papam Jananang Punna Karmanam Te Danda Moho Nirmukta Bhajan Te Mam Drihavrata. Yeah. So, when one becomes, see, bhajante mang drihabrata, when that attitude comes, serving Krishna with firm determination, when one has become free from sinful reactions. And that sinful reactions has gone away due to his surrender to Krishna and association with the devotee. Yeah. So what started first? Yeah. So what started first? Receiving the devotion or freedom from papunna? What came first? Huh? Devotion. So that is how it started. It's the devotion only that frees one from antagatam papam. Cessation of sinful activity is done through devotion. And then, when one is free from sinful reactions, when one has become free from the desire for fruitive activity and enjoying the material nature, then only he becomes fixed up in serving Krishna with full conviction. Second stage, yeah, right. No, it's not the preliminary stage, it's the advanced stage. Like we start to render devotional service, as a result of that, we become free from our desire for sense gratification or enjoying the material nature. And as a result of that, we become free from all our sinful reactions. And then we become fixed up in devotional service. Right? Adau Shraddha, Tato Sadhu Sangha, Atha Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nibritti, and then Nishtha. That Bhajanti Mang Drirabrata is a stage of Nishtha. Yes, sure. No, I didn't get it. Like, what is Prahlad Maharaj actually saying here? Yeah.
By the endeavor of others means by the endeavor of the devotee or by the endeavor of the person or by both, it cannot happen. If one person is very much addicted for sense gratification.
Right. So again, we are going back to the same point. He is sinfully involved. Right? So that's why he is not advancing in spiritual life. So, in order to first to receive Krishna consciousness, one has to be open to the mercy of the devotee. If he is too attached to sense gratification, I mean, we are seeing, so how many people are being attracted to Krishna consciousness? And why not?
Because he is not eligible to get the mercy of the devotee.
Yes, right, the shower is, rain is pouring. I am thirsty, but I am not making the endeavor to cup the water. Who can help me? I am so caught up with sense gratification that I don't have any inclination to surrender to Krishna or even hear about Krishna. Who can help me? Right?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Bhakti Janakriya Prabhu. Why was not mentioned in the verse about yoga? And why Prakriti Sahajiya's behavior comes from desire of yoga? Anyway, because yoga hasn't been separately mentioned. Whose question is this? Yeah. Yoga hasn't been separately mentioned because yoga is a part of jnana. Right? Yoga is actually part of jnana.
Comes from yoga, very yoga.
No, sahajyas don't come from yoga. Sahajyas come from sense gratification. They get into sense gratification in the name of Krishna consciousness. You get it? Polluted by yoga. No, not really. They're polluted by ganja. We are doing akarma, want in work in Krishna consciousness. Does that come under karma di anabritam? No. No. This karma, did everybody get the question? Okay, I'll read again. Maharaj, we are doing akarma, work in Krishna consciousness. Does that come under karma di anabritam? Akarma means? A means what? Not. So, does it come under karma? Bhaktin Veronica? Okay, Hare Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita 9.24 says purport, if anyone has any material desire to be fulfilled, he had better pray for it to the Supreme Lord. Although that is not pure devotion, and he will thus achieve the desired result. If I am doing devotional service, chanting Hare Krishna, and I have also material desires, is bad idea to pray to Krishna for these material desires? No. No. It's all right. It's not a bad idea. It's a very good idea. Like Prabhupada is giving the example. Like, you have a rich father, and if you need something, won't you naturally go to your father and tell, Father, give me this? Or will you go to your neighbor and ask them? So similarly, when we surrender to Krishna, and if we need something, if we want something, who should we ask to? When you know that we have a Supreme Father who is the proprietor of everything, why should you go to anybody else? Therefore, yes, pray to Krishna. Whatever you need, don't hesitate.
But if we pray to Krishna for these material desires, then our devotion may diminish.
No. I mean, If you are in that stage, like if you think you are in that stage, then it will diminish. But if you are in this stage, if you realize you are here, and in that stage you are desiring something, what's the harm? If you have some desire for some material thing, then tell Krishna. Then what will happen? Krishna will fulfill your desire. And then your faith will become stronger. Then eventually you'll think, Krishna is giving me everything that I need, why should I ask? Right? Then automatically you'll come to a stage of not asking anything from Krishna. Right? Again, I'll put it in this way. If you're in this level, Veronica, if you're in this level, be in this level. Don't think you are in that level. Right? And try to act in that level. Just be normal, be natural. I have some desire in heart, yes. Okay, Krishna. Like, if you're a child, Krishna knows that you're a child. Why it's stressed that is the body that wants to enjoy if the body is nothing but an instrument? Why it is stressed that is the body? Okay. Champaklata Dasi? Yeah. What do you mean? Why is it stressed that that is the body that wants to enjoy if the body is nothing but an instrument? Okay, I think I got your question. Okay, I think I got your question. The thing is, the body is an instrument, but we are thinking that I am this body. Alright? That's why although it is meant for suffering, we are thinking I am going to enjoy through this body. You get it? Because of Maya. Because of the illusory energy of the Lord, although this body is actually an instrument to receive pain, we are thinking that we are going to enjoy through this body. Does it answer your question?
To me, it's the mind that causes the entanglement.
Huh?
To me, she says, it's the mind what causes the entanglement.
Yes, the mind is telling you that you are your body and try to enjoy through this body. Your mind is telling you, that is the business of the mind. The mind is telling you that you are your body and your business is to enjoy through this body. And that is the meaning of mind. Now that you have come to Krishna consciousness, do you want to enjoy through your body? No. Very good. Now you realize it's an instrument to receive pain? Okay. Which kind of feelings and realizations has a renunciant towards material desire in a positive way? What kind of feeling of realizations has a renunciate has towards material desire in a positive way? You see, the desire is there, but when the desire is to serve Krishna, to give pleasure to Krishna, that is spiritual desire. Then it's not material anymore. Although you are in a material nature, although you are trying to act through this material body, but do it for the pleasure of Krishna, then it will become the cause of your freedom. Acha, this is a question from the internet, from Belgium, from Ramananda Raya Das. What does it mean looking at Krishna, because we can't look at the same thing, like the moon, for example,
and we can look at it in a Krishna conscious way and look at it in Maya way. What does it mean looking at Krishna? Because we can look at the same thing, like the moon for example, and we can look at it in a Krishna conscious way and look at it in a... Okay, the point is, the question is that looking at something, we can have two ways. Looking at Krishna conscious way or looking in a Maya way. What's the difference? We are looking at the same thing, like he's giving the example. So when I look at a moon, how can I look at the moon in a Krishna conscious way? Look at the moon in Krishna conscious way is look at the moon and think, who created this moon? This beautiful moon giving out this brilliant light. Who created this? And as a result of that, who do you think of? So this is how you look at the moon and think about Krishna. And looking at the moon and think of Maya way, I don't have to tell you, there's so many ways. Like a materialistic person may look at the moon and think, oh, this moon is looking like my little child, little baby whose face is just like the moon. Or this moon, the beautiful moon is like the face of my girlfriend. She reminds me and how much I'm missing her. So that is looking at the moon in a Maya way. Dear Maharaj, could you please explain the difference between Vedic Raganuga Bhakti and Raganuga Bhakti? Anyway, tomorrow we'll discuss that. Today, tomorrow, whose question is this? Okay, it's not today's class. Tomorrow we'll discuss about that. So you can keep the question for tomorrow. Okay, so I think I covered all the questions. Not bad. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glory to Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So please, you all be on time tomorrow by 4.